Cover me. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap tonight. Hallelujah. If he's covering you, there's no safer place to be. I almost feel sorry for anyone that tries to go through him. Almost. It's their mistake. Amen. No one can get through him. Praise the Lord. Well, we're excited tonight to have a visiting minister from all the way from the Redwater Tabernacle in Redwater, Alberta, Canada. So I guess there's snowbirds here tonight. They've flown south for a portion of the winter, for a few days anyway. I guess they managed to bring some snow down here with them. And we pointed it out to them today on Mount Lemmon. There was quite a bit of snow, actually. It won't all be there tomorrow, but anyway, we're glad to have them with us. And Brother Ken Griffiths, who's a pastor in Redwater, and his wife, Sister Erica, is with us here tonight, so we're glad to have them with us. So we just met yesterday, and we've had some very nice fellowship last night and today, and they've known Brother and Sister Pasedley for a number of years, and are just coming down from the church there in Dewey. And of course, they've known Brother Malevo and his family in the Philippines for a number of years, and Brother Ken's ministered over there several times. And anyway, we just want to partake of whatever the Lord has for us here tonight. Amen. How many believe the Lord has something for you? So we. How many have brought their plate and their saucer? Say, Lord, fill it up. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So as our brother Ken prepares to come here tonight, he counts the stars. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay. Well, at least she's not talking to me this time. Siri, yeah. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. You believe that tonight? Hallelujah. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. Don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Amen. And again, he knows my name. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name, and I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't. Well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Yes, he does. He knows my name. He knows my name. Amen. Give the Lord another hand clap tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Ken, if you can hear me, you can come on out. We'll sing, I Need You, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord. And so I lift my hands, I bow my knees, and worship at your throne. I need you, Lord, I need you, Lord, right now. Amen. Sing it to him again with all your heart. I need you, Lord. Oh, yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord, we need you tonight, Lord. Yes, Lord, oh yes, I need you, Lord. Oh yes, I need you, Lord, right now. Lift my hands, Lord, I bow my knees and worship at your throne. I need you, Lord.
Adjust my microphone a little. Well, there it goes, a little bit better. I like what Brother Branham, you know, Brother Branham had like, I don't know, 12 microphones. He says, maybe I'll work in these ones for a little bit, or work in those ones. I just love the way he talked, you know. And not just in the preaching of the word, but his mannerisms and the things that he said, just always such a blessing. When you go through the tapes and the books and you see different little things that he says, and it just kind of sticks with you. And I'm really grateful to the Lord to be here tonight. And we just, you know, we all come to church to worship God. We all come to church to get a blessing, to give a blessing, to go out blessed. Amen? And I've been blessed ever since I come to Arizona. Well, for one thing, it was like minus 35 in Alberta when I left it. And the snow, I felt like it was up to my armpits. So I leave my kids back there to shovel snow. And so it's just a blessing to come, but not just for the weather. You know, God put something on your heart. Just have to excuse me. I don't have no presidential demeanor that hold back all emotions and all that. Just who I am. I always like, Brother Branham said, you know, I get like a baby when I talk about him. Well, we're just children, amen? We can't say we're all growing up in God. We're just babes in Christ, amen? And Brother Doug has certainly been a great host and his wife. And, you know, I just... getting to know Brother Doug better. I got him to know a little bit through the internet and about his work in the Philippines, and I've been going there quite a bit. And it's just, but now to get together in person is just such a blessing. You know, I truly believe we were related before the foundation of the world. It's got to be. How can God bring people together in love and unity and fellowship and see the harmony of Jesus Christ among God's people and it not be God? It has to be God, friends. And so we're just going to go to the Word here. Thank you very much, musicians. We appreciate. And just before you sit, we're just going to bow our heads for a word of prayer. And I know I'm kind of keeping you standing a bit, but we're going to bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then we're going to go into the Word. God bless you. Dear Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads and our knees to the dust of the earth, Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for your presence. We thank you for your anointing, your blessings. We thank you for the great Holy Spirit that's among us. Oh, Jesus, what would we do without you? You're our King and you're our God. Lord, we're here to worship you, Lord. We're here to praise you. We're here, Lord Jesus, that you can have all the preeminences you desire in our life. That's why we're here, Lord. Lord, we're here to hear from you. Lord God, we're here to become your living instrumentality upon earth, oh God. Lord, we just pray that you bless this church, bless the pastor, his family, and this church. Oh God, we pray that you make it a real lighthouse, oh God. People driving by the way, they see the love divine. Lord, may they see, Lord, there's more than what there is in this world. With all the filial loves and the lust and everything, may they see, Lord God, that there's an agape love here, Lord. There's a love divine. We pray you'll bless this church, Lord, with the pastor, the deacons, ministers, those musicians, every part of it, Lord. Everyone that's in here, we pray that you'll bless them tonight. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we move ourselves aside, Lord, as we hide behind thy old rugged cross with thy blood flowing over us, Lord, we just ask that you break the bread of life as the people have need. Lord, we step aside and we ask you, Jehovah, to come and break the bread of life to each one, O God. And Lord, as we'll say like those coming from Emmaus, did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us along the way and revealed to us the scriptures. Lord God, forgive your unworthy servant, Lord. We're just trying to serve you, Lord. We're trying to do our best. Lord God and Lord Jesus, even our best is never good enough, Lord. But Lord, underneath your precious blood, we are accepted by you. Oh, Jesus, what would we do if you had not come to that cross for us? How we thank you. How we praise you. How we thank you for this last day message. Oh, God, that just delivers us from all confusion, Lord. That just shines the brightest light on our lives, oh, God. How we thank you, Lord. Bless each one now in divine service, for we ask all these mercies in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you have your Bibles. You can turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. Ministers, sometimes they don't know which way their God is going to direct them. But, you know, one thing we know for sure, God directs us. He leads us. You know, that's why we're not to trust in our own understanding or lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths. And the more we can lean on him and not our understanding, the more he'll direct our paths. Amen? Genesis 22, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt. And that word tempt means test. God's not tempted of any man, neither does he tempt any man. But it was tested. God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And we'll just look down further in that chapter, verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. God bless you. You may be seated. I've been preaching for about 30 years, but it seems like it's always new, and God is always new, and the message is always new. There's so much in this message, and I'd like to title this message, Changing the Situation. And we read here about Abraham and how he was asked to offer up his son, and then I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles also to Genesis 37. We're just going to follow this changing the situation through the scriptures. And Genesis 37, we see the story here of Joseph in verse 10. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And then also, I'm just going to keep moving along here a little bit. I'm going to go over to Exodus chapter 14. And we're going to read verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there are no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not. Stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. I like this. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. So, and I just want to look at also Ephesians 5:20. And this is a good one for you, if you like to underline in your Bible, but Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things, the good and the bad. Well, it's easy to give thanks for the good things, but what about the bad thing that comes your way? You give thanks to God for that? Well, we want to look at changing the situation. And now, tonight, we're represented here by many people with many different needs. And we want God to change certain situations. If you don't want God to change a certain situation, either you're brain dead, or you're maybe just not alive at all. But for one thing, the bride wants a real situation change when we are given a new body. We need the change of situation. And we're just looking through here in the Bible, and we see that Abraham is called of God. And he's called out of a Babylonian line there of heathen worshipers, idol worshipers, and God called him. And then he's waiting 25 years to receive this son. And what happens? All the trials he went through, but what did he do? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. What? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. See? Always giving thanks. And so what happened? Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Afterwards, he received the promise. It was imputed to him for righteousness. It doesn't talk about all Abraham's mistakes. Oh, he made lots of mistakes. He made lots of errors. But when you see Paul there giving his divine commentary, all he talks about is the faith of Abraham. How he overcame and the things that he did. Aren't you glad? When your sins are in the sea of God's forgetfulness, he forgets about your mistakes. He doesn't see them. You're just as if you never done it in the first place. So what happened with Abraham? Kept following along. Finally, his son Isaac was finally born. Age 99. An old grandma. But God had changed him back to a young man and young woman. And so they went about 13, 14 years, and then he had to take Isaac up. God said, I want you to take your son, your only son. The only one the only evidence that he had that God's promise would be fulfilled. Take that boy. Offer him up as a burnt offering. My, look at the trial. Now, was that a storm he had to go through? Absolutely. What about Moses at the Red Sea when the Pharaoh's armies are breathing down their necks? Coming with shiny spears and swords and cavalry and everything. And the children of Israel whining, complaining. Oh, wasn't there enough graves back there? You're going to bring us out here to die? What's going on here? And then he had the Red Sea right in front of him. That was another storm. It was a different storm than Abraham's, but it was a storm to face just the same. And God has a storm in your life. He allows it there for a purpose. But can you change a situation? And so we see Joseph also. He got into storms with his brothers. Well, you know, Joseph, he just thought, well, I'll share my nice little story here. Why you all are going to come down and you're going to worship me. You're going to bow down before me. Wasn't that a nice little story? And the ones that should have loved him, they hated him. And the further he's getting with God, the more they hated him. You see, it was a storm. But you see, God changed the situation for Joseph too. There's many storms through the Bible that we see where God changes a situation. And we think, well, those are Bible characters. Well, what about me? Well, you can go through a storm. You can go through a storm of sickness. You can go through a storm of oppression. You can go through a storm in a marriage, in a relationship, storms in the church, storms everywhere. But God wants to change a situation. You don't stay in the storm. And you don't whine and murmur and complain. Let's say you hurt your foot. Well, what do you say? Well, my foot's sore. Well, that's all right. It's sore. Sure. But do you stay there? And say, well, it looks like God's never going to heal my foot. It's just like, what are you doing? You're murmuring, you're complaining, you're disbelieving God. You see? But giving thanks for that sore foot. Thanks for that sore foot? Can hardly walk on it? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Because I know your perfection will be made strong in my weakness. Hallelujah, Lord. I give you thanks for all things. And say, well, you got to jump up and down and run over the building saying, hallelujah, this sure hurts, oh, praise. Well, you can't run because your foot's sore. So you're not doing that. But just to quietly and reverently say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this situation. I thank you, Lord, I go through this. Because, Lord, your perfection is, you're going to be strong in my weakness. You're trying to do something for me, Lord. And God works perfection in our weakness. He changes the situation. When does he change it? We don't know. Quite often, least when we expect it. But you've got to have faith. You've got to know who it is with you. That it's God who will change your situation. You don't stay there. Say, well, God allowed this and that, so I guess I'll just stay there, brother. No, no, no. You don't stay there. You say the same God that delivered the children of Israel, the same God that delivered the three Hebrew children from the fiery furnace will set me free. The very fire and the very flames that destroyed the strongest men who tried to take up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to that fiery flame. Nebuchadnezzar had the strongest men in his army to do it. Those men died at the flame before they could get those boys into the furnace. They died. The fire killed them. But the three Hebrew boys fell down with all their hosen and everything. Oh, they might have been a little sweaty. I don't know. But there wasn't even the smell of smoke or fire or nothing on them. Because if God does not deliver us, yet we'll not serve your idol. But God can change your situation. And he did it. I think of Gideon there in the Old Testament, the least in his father's house. Well, Gideon, you're not much to look at. No, we're not. But inside is the bride of Jesus Christ. We're not trying to shine and glitter with the world. We don't want it. We want to glow with the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there's Gideon, and he's hiding behind the wine press. Little bit of wheat from the Midianites. Oh, we've got to watch this thing. And the prophet came out with a message. And the prophet condemned Israel for their sins. And this, you gotten away from God. That's why you got into all these problems. But following the prophet's message, and the angel came. We've had the prophet's message. It's still here. But now the angel is here. The angel is here to vindicate the message to your heart. The great Holy Spirit. So there's Gideon, and he's threshing by the wine press, trying to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of God moves up and said, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." Oh my! Lord is with you! Little woman, little man of valor! Huh? Yes, he is! If God be for us, who can be against us? Gideon say, "Well, if God be with us, where's all the miracles? And why have all these things befallen us?" He said, "You'll deliver Israel as one man. As one man, you'll change the situation. As one man." And he did it. So we see that God changes the situation. And we see it happen in the prophet's life. And you say, "Well, these great situations through the Bible. You know, we got Moses, we got Abraham, and we got all these different characters. Joseph, well, what about me? What about you? Where's our examples?" I'm so glad to God that there's the example of the vindicated prophet's message for this hour. You know, you think prophet of God, he's got all these people coming into his house all the time, praying for sick people, trying to help them, people's straight jackets, deranged, mentally insane, everything else. All kind of infirmities in the house are just filling up all the time. His wife's gray-headed and trying to get little meals and things. And then all the people finally clear out. And then there's Brother Branham, and what's he doing? He sees his son, Billy Paul, and Rebecca, and they're fighting on the floor about something. One took or the other took. And then he sees little Joseph there, and he's complaining and crying and things. And then he sees his wife, and she's gray-headed, and she says, "Oh, Billy, I could just pull my hair out. I can't take this." And then she's in there trying to do dishes, and great big pile. They didn't have a dishwasher back in those days. Well, they did, I guess, just the very rich. But anyway, she starts washing the dishes. Brother Bram starts praying quietly. "Oh, God, help her. Oh, God, change the situation. What can we do, Lord?" And he didn't come up to her and say, "Well, honey, you don't need to act like that. You got to get your act together. You're a housewife. You know, if you were stronger and you know, you just get them dishes done." No, no. No, no. The prophet of God surrendered to God, seeing the situation change. What did he do? He just prayed quietly. "Lord, help her. What can I do to help her?" And the prophet of God rolled up his sleeves and got in there and started helping her. And he says, "You know, there's a real nice dress down there. The dress shop, you look so pretty in it." "Oh, Billy, I can't even think about that dress. You know, I just can't take this stuff no more. I just can't take it." He says, "Yeah, but you look real pretty in it, honey." Just kept going, "Lord, help her, Lord, help her." Praying quietly, like that. Finally, he helped her, and they got all the dishes done, kitchen cleaned up. And the head of his own house doing this. And what did she do? She pushed back her hair and said, Billy, I believe we'll go down and look at that dress. God changes situation in simplicity. We need God to change situations in simplicity first. Then he'll do the greater things later. But God changes the situation. I think of the prophet of God. You know, so many sick people getting healed. You know, people just, cancer's falling off and everything else. Deaf ears, blind eyes, even raising the dead, all these things. And there's his wife, got a tumor. It's getting bigger and bigger. And Brother Graham's thinking, you know, if God could just spare her, you know, I'd like to be together at Christmas, you know, and our family. And he started praying. He said, Lord, help her. She's a good wife. She doesn't mean no harm. She just wants to serve you. She's always packed my bag. She does all these things. Just help her, Lord. And the prophet just kept praying and praying. And he said, you know, I did lose one wife already. I didn't want to lose another one. And so he kept praying and praying. She went up for the exam. She got on the table there, size of a beach ball or basketball tumor. And the doctors, we know the story. The angel of the Lord said to Brother Branham, stand on your feet. Whatever you say, that's the way it'll be. Was that just for Brother Branham? That's for us too, friends. God is speaking tonight. He wants to change your situation. He kept praying. He said, stand on your feet. The way you say it, that's the way it'll be. He said, before the doctor's hand touches the place where the tumor is, it'll be gone. So they help her up there on the bench there. And doctor starts to move the pack. She feels a cool feeling goes through her. It's like a cool feeling just goes through her. Doctor's moving the packs and it's gone. What? Did it move? He said. God changes situation. You see, he was just praying, humble, thanking the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. In everything, give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, is it the will of God? I go over here. The will of God. The will of God is give thanks to God in your present situation. Thanking God for all things. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So be rejoicing, thanking God, believing God that all things work together for good. To them that love God, even to those who are the called according to His purpose. You ever have something happen to you and you say, well, I know all things work together for good, but there's just no way this is. Huh? You felt that? Oh man, God says all things work together for my good. Then that happened to me, Brother Doug. How can that happen? It's supposed to work for my good, brother. Well, later on you find out. It did work for your good. See? And we know, K-N-O-W, we know that A-L-L, all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to His promise. Well, man, I got that booming headache. Is that supposed to work? Yep. This went wrong. And problems, yes, it's working for your good. God is trying to mold you. He's trying to do something in your life. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is sent to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. Beloved, count it all joy. Oh, all joy, eh? Wow, getting your arm twisted right off in some machine or something. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. For the trial of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. See, God has a plan in it. Those seven virtues, they're not going to just, oh, God, just going to open them to heaven, just pour them right in. Oh, we got it. Now we're going to rapture. No, we've got to go through the school that God has predestinated us to go through. But we must recognize that He is with us. Amen. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. What? I'm living right. What? I've got many afflictions. Yeah. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. See? So what? But don't stay with that. Because it also says, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Out of all of them. Many are your afflictions, but God will deliver you from all of them. You know, I think, you know, little Hannah there, the handmaid. And we read about that story in Samuel, and we find out that her husband there, he had two wives, and we know polygamy is wrong now, but it was lawful back before Jesus shed his blood on Calvary. After that, it's not lawful anymore. But anyway, he had two wives, Elkanah and Hannah, or Hannah and Peniah. Elkanah, I believe, is her husband. But what happened? She kept getting lots of children, and Hannah didn't have any children. And she just was weeping, and her adversary was provoking her sore. Oh yeah, I got all the kids, you ain't got none. And this is going on and on. And so finally Hannah got desperate. She went down to the temple and started praying and believing God. And she just poured out her heart to God. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be removed. So what happened? She kept praying and crying and on and weeping bitterly. And Eli there, the pastor there of the house, he thought she's gone nuts. She's just, her tongue's, oh, she might. He said, look at how long are you going to be drinking wine and coming into church? He asked her. She said, no, it's not that. She said, your handmaid is bitter of spirit. And she kept crying and praying. And then finally her burden left her. And God gave her children. What kind of child? Samuel, the prophet. You see? So when God changes the situation, he does it perfectly. He changes it wonderfully. His wonders to perform. God does it. You know, think of the disciples there, and they're out there fishing all night, just fishing and fishing. And Jesus said, have children, do you have any meat? Oh, Lord, we've been fishing all night and never caught nothing. Cast your net upon the other side. They cast in the other side, and God changes situation. If you're into something and doing something, and that situation is not getting changed, now it's time to just look to Jesus. Time to get more into the Word, into the message of the hour, until God reveals to you something. There's something there for you. Not for someone else, for you. Well, Lord, we fished all night, but nevertheless, at thy word, put the net down the other side, got so many fish, the net's almost broke, but they managed to bring them all in. See, God changes the situation so perfectly. God wants to change your situation. As we're here tonight, and we're thinking about different situations that need changing. Maybe it's an unsaved loved one. Maybe there's a sickness, there's a burden or something. But God is here! He's here to change your situation. The question is, do you have faith to believe it? You say, well, I hope it'll change. That's not enough, friends. Hope's not enough in this age. Hope's a great thing, but it's not great enough for this age. What if God said to Abraham, you're going to have this son, and he said, well, Sarah looks pretty old, but I hope so. You can see her kind of staggering around, and I can't even walk myself, but I hope so. That son wouldn't have come. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. He might have been staggering around a bit looking older, but at the promise of God, he didn't stagger. He had faith in God, and God honored his faith, and the situation changed. Oh, we can go through the whole Bible, friends. Out to the vindicated prophet. Look at the disciples. Jesus crucified on Calvary. Bleeding, dying. Hanging between heaven and earth. Forsaken by God and man. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there he was there. And the disciples, Peter had denied him. Likewise, they all forsook him and fled. Judas betrayed him. We got Judas's in the... Where do you think the Judas is? He's not in the World Council Church's friends. He's been in the message for a good while. Oh, the Judases know the messages. Sure, Judas was with Jesus for 3.5 years. You think he's not hanging around the message? Sure he is. And, well, we just got off on that a little bit. But anyway, so here we see that Peter had forsaken him. He denied him 3 times. And so we see that they're feeling defeated. And they were in a storm of futility. You ever feel like you're in a storm of futility? You're just trying something. The thing just doesn't work no matter what you do. And Peter, you know, he walked with Christ for 3.5 years. And now it looked like, there he is dying on Calvary. I denied him. And this is over. And so what happened? They're looking at Jesus. They expected that Jesus would deliver them from the Romans. And so there they were in a storm. That not only was Jesus caught in a storm between heaven and earth, but so was the church. The church going through birth pains. They were caught in a storm. And right there, the sun goes down in the middle of the day. And then we see, did the situation change? It sure did. Jesus rose from the dead. And he changed the situation. Oh. Mary weeping, wondering, they've taken away my Lord. I know not where they laid him. Jesus turned and said, Mary. And she recognized that voice. Rabboni, that is to say, Master. The situation changed. And we see Mary, she goes and tells the other disciples, they don't believe her. They think this is some kind of, I think the woman's kind of, she must have drank the wrong thing or something. But the situation changed. And then he appeared among the disciples. And it changed the situation. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Amen? Amen. And then there was another changed situation. You know, they couldn't speak openly about Jesus, and so they're up there in the upper room for fear of the Jews gathered together in the upper room, and Jesus told them to gather and pray. So they're praying, and we don't know when those guys are going to come in and arrest the whole bunch of us and crucify us all. We don't know. You imagine, you know, they're feeling that way, and this is a dark time, see? But on the day of Pentecost, Jesus Christ himself came down as a mighty rushing wind, filled the whole house where they are sitting, and God changed the situation. He said, I am with you, but I will be in you to the end of the age. And they started staggering around like drunk men. Nearly every one of them gave their lives for the gospel. Because God changed the situation. I think of Brother Branham, you know, up in the mountain, and the snow is settling in, and his son Billy Paul and his wife down lower in the mountain. And you knew that that storm would just cover the mountains in a matter of maybe 30 minutes, and that his wife and son could perish in that storm. So he thought, I better get down there quick and get to where they are and get out of here. And the Lord spoke to him. Said, turn and go back into the storm. You see, you couldn't get away from it. There's storms coming in your life. You can't get out of it. And Brother Brown said, I knew that voice. He said, it was certain death to walk back in that storm, but I knew that voice. And he turned and he walked back up to face the storm. And as he is going up there, and the storm just coming in real hard. And then the Lord spoke to him. He said, I am Jehovah, who created the heavens and the earth. I still the waves upon the mighty seas. Speak to the storm. He said, storm, you pull back for 4 days in sunshine till we get out of this mountain. No sinner can hardly said it. The wind started whipping around. The storm dissipated, the sun shining on his back. And he started down the mountain. The Lord said, you love these woods, don't you? Brother Graham said, yes, I do. And Jehovah said, I do too. Why don't you walk with me? Yes, Lord. Greatest privilege of my life to walk with you. You see, God changing the situation. He's here to change situations no matter what it is, friends. There's no problem high enough, but God is higher still. No problem low enough, but God can get under it and change it. He's the Jehovah of the Old Testament. He's the Jesus of the New. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The works that I do shall you do also. And more than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. God has predestinated you for situation changes. For a change of situation. God has solutions. You know, many times we see the problems and we focus in on the problem. And we forget that God has a solution for the problem. And it's hard sometimes because that problem can really get you. And you're like, man, I got my mind concentrated on that problem. I can't see past it. That's when we got to get to praying. Get digging in, getting into this message. And get here to hearing the voice of God. Because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And get digging in and pressing in. And then God will move in and He'll change the situation. I've wrote down notes in some of my message books. I remember back in 203, 204, some of those years, going through different trials, and I wrote down the dates. And I said, you know, I believe God can change this situation. And I wrote it down. Years later, I pick up that book, and I just feel like I should read that message. And there I saw it. And now I see it. God has changed the situation. Oh, He's so good to us, friends. We don't want to murmur and grumble and complain. Oh, you can say that hurts if you want. Sure, that's all right. That's okay. You can say this problem's no good. Yeah, it is no good. It's no use lying to ourselves. See, we're not foolish. We know if there's a problem. But we also know that God is a changer of the situation. This is what we must look to, friends. Is God going to change your situation? It's not just hoping that's going to do it. It takes the substance faith of God. You've got to believe that God will do it. And believing is the substance that creates a perfect faith. A perfect faith of God to change your situation. Certain situations I'm never going to be content with till God changes it. I believe God's anchored that in my heart. You know, if you're praying for unsaved loved ones, don't you ever give up. You just keep praying for that husband, that wife, those children. You keep applying the token. God has promised through the vindicated prophet. You just keep praying and believing till every one of them comes to serve the Lord. Till God changes the situation. You got some kind of thing going on at work there. You just can't get around it. You can't get past it. Don't know what to do with it. Commit it completely to God. Thank God for that person that's causing you the problem. Say, Lord, I thank you for that. Wow, he's a real fly in the ointment. I sure thank you, Lord. Praise God. Because God, you're going to change that situation. You know, we were in Ghana one year, and there was like three or four men working on this church in Ghana there. And what happened, there was a woman official, and she didn't like the message at all. We're believing William Branham's a prophet and the women got to be in subjection and all this stuff. And so she thought, well, men are just all bosses. And she went down there to the church there, and she'd always bring government official letters to make them stop working on the building. Big message church. And so they didn't know what to do about her. And this just went on and on. I don't know. The Lord just called me into there for that time. And what happened was, I said, look, this woman's really bothering you guys. Here's what you do. Start praying for her every service. Start praying for her soul every service. That God will save her soul. That's what you do. See? And start thanking God that she's such a problem. Yep. You thank God she's a, yep. Thank God she's a problem. And I said, you just start praying like that every service. Well, 2 days later, there's like 18 men out there working on the building instead of three. A woman came down. She said, that brother come from America, and I don't know what he's doing or saying, but now they got everybody working on that church. I can't do anything about this anymore. And she said, God, change a situation. Well, I'm not from the United States, from Canada, but North America, it's good enough. But you see, God changed the situation. And you know something? There's somebody in your life, you know they need a situation change. It's not just for yourself. You know, you might have a brother or sister or daughter or somebody. You know. You know. They need a situation change. Well, where's the love of God in our hearts to get to praying? If you don't feel the love of God and you don't really care much to change the situation, just start praying about it. You just start praying about it. God will give you a real love for that person. And God will start changing the situation. I think of Zacchaeus there and Elizabeth. We know the story. And Elizabeth, she believed Jesus Christ was the prophet. She believed he was the Messiah. And Zacchaeus, he believed he was a heretic. And Zacchaeus is a little businessman and owned a restaurant and things. And what happened here, Elizabeth just kept praying for him, saying, Lord, just reveal to him about Jesus. Reveal. And the more she prayed for him, the worse he got. Little hook-nosed Jew, pretty fired up there. But the more fired up he got, the more she's praying. See? And finally, Jesus came to Jericho. And where does he go? Down Hallelujah Avenue. And he stops on the Amen corner. And this was, Zacchaeus, guess what? Jesus is coming. Oh yeah, right. But Zacchaeus, you gotta hear this. How many times have I told you I believe my priest and I believe the Sanhedrin and the rest of it? Leave me alone! Oh, okay. Dear God, just help my husband to see who he is. I love him. I want him to get saved. And so she kept praying, and Zacchaeus thought, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind when he gets here. When he gets here, I'm going to tell him what I really think. He needs to hear it from this little businessman here. And no doubt that little fella, he could stir it up pretty good. So you knew Jesus coming down that street. And he climbed up in the sycamore tree. And then there was a woman who was staggering along. And she was so weak from a blood issue, she could hardly walk. And she suffered many things and many physicians. Never got better, she got the worse. That's what sometimes physicians do. They make you worse. Don't just trust in that one physician there. So she got worse. And what happened? She's stumbling through the crowd, and the crowd's almost pushing her right up to where Jesus is because of her faith. And then she stumbled. She touched Jesus' garment. She said in her heart, had no scripture for it or anything, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be whole. And Jesus perceived virtue went out of him. He said, someone touched me. And Peter and them rebuked, Lord, what are you talking about? Everyone's touching you. And he said, no, someone touched me, for I perceived that virtue went out from me. And when the woman could not be hid, Jesus said, daughter, be of good faith. Be in peace. Thy faith hath saved thee. And so what happens? Zacchaeus is still up in the tree there. And like Brother Doug is saying there today, you know, he tripped over the garbage can. And he got garbage because he's so small he couldn't get up in the tree. So he gets this big garbage can here and and garbage, something kind of mucky there. What? I don't know. I got to get up in that tree. I got to tell him what I think. I don't care if it wrecks my new suit, he said. So he's climbing up there and stumbling. He's got this muck all over him. And he climbs up and he hides in his sycamore tree. And Jesus is coming by. And there he is. He stops right there. He looks up. Zacchaeus, you come down. How did he know his name is Zacchaeus? How did he know he was up in the tree? He knew him before the foundation of the world. Zacchaeus thought, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. He pulled back the leaves to look at his face. God changed the situation. When you look on Jesus' face, the situation changes. Amen? Oh, we just want to look on Jesus' face tonight. We want to see Jesus change the situation. Just move back the clouds. Move back the confusion. Move back everybody's thinking and negativity and all the thoughts of the world trying to bombard Satan with many demons and fears and everything he's got. No, you don't have to fear. You're going to go broke? Huh. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Take God at his word. by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. I'm not talking prosperity doctrine. I'm just talking scripture. By humility and by the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. Don't fear poverty. Don't fear sickness. I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. Don't fear breakups. Just come according to the plan of the word. Stay right in God's word. He's trying to show you something. And then your situation will change. Zacchaeus, when he saw the face of Jesus, he couldn't give him a piece of his mind. Oh, he just, what? Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to dine at your house today. It was a time of rejoicing. In so much as he's a child of Abraham, a son of Abraham. Oh my. God be praised. Let's stand to our feet. When the enemy, God bless you, when the enemy shall pour in like a flood, the Spirit of God shall lift up a standard against him. Are you part of the standard tonight to change a situation? The enemy's pouring in like a flood. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down with great wrath, knowing he has but a short time. But when the enemy pours in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard to change your situation. God will change your situation. We can't do it no more than we can tie up our boots and fly over the moon. That's how well we can change our situation. But we can give God thanks and praise. We can commit the thing to God. And giving him thanks and praise and go on worshiping him. And with a substance of faith, believing that he'll do it. And he said, I will do it. He said, you shall ask anything in my name. I will do it. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Pianists can just play something soft for us. Musicians can play something nice and soft. We're just going to bow our heads to the earth from whence we came. And, you know, as we bow our heads to God, let's just raise our hands to him and say, Lord, you see my situation. Lord, I've tried, but I can't change it. No matter how I try, Lord, we can strive, we can struggle, but Lord, you change it, Lord. Lord, we just come here surrendering our hearts to you. Our hands are extended to you. We want you to come down through our hand into our heart. Settle it forever, O Lord, the faith of God in our hearts to change a situation. Heavenly Father, we just pray for each one here tonight, Lord. I pray they receive the change of situation that they need. Just a simple message, Lord. But Lord, you are the great situation changer. Oh God, you change a situation and you make it so wonderful. Lord, we just surrender it all to you tonight. Whatever it takes, Lord, you bring us through many things. But Lord, we know. Lord, we don't guess. We don't hope. We know you'll change a situation, Lord. I ask for every man, woman, boy, girl in the audience tonight, Lord. For that situation change they desire to be granted them, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask for every person in here to receive a perfect faith tonight, Lord. A substance faith that'll change your situation. We ask for it tonight, Lord. Bless each one, we pray, in divine service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Oh God, change this scene. Oh God, change the situation. My God shall supply all your need. How many times we see the word all there, friends? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he delivers us out of them all. My God shall supply all your need. Hey, all. He's our all in all, friends. Jesus Christ is our all in all. He's not going to forget your prayers. He's going to change your situation. Sometimes, when the time seems at its worst, right when you're going through the hardest time about that thing, that's when God changes it. Oh, he's so wonderful, friends. We just love him tonight. We just thank the Lord tonight. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! You want God to change your situation? There's something lingering. You can write that thing down. If you want, write it in a message book or Bible or something. I want God to change this, and I believe He'll do it. And write down the date. Start praying, and you just watch. You watch, it'll come to pass. The thing you believe with all your life and in your heart, you'll see it come to pass. Amen? My. We'll turn it back to Brother Doug. You're wonderful people. We just love you. Bride of Jesus Christ. Just think, friends, this is the shortest time in all eternity, the shortest period of time we have right here. Soon time will blend into eternity. And it'll be eons and eons of years, millions and millions and millions. And we'll never lose a day. We're coming into that, friends. I think of Job. Oh, Job, he's just down in the lowest he could get. And then his three religious friends, Job, you got to be a secret sinner. You got to be something wrong with you, Job. But God changed the situation when he got a revelation. Maybe that's what you need tonight, a revelation for God to change your situation. You know, when Job, what happened? The skies rolled back, the lightnings flashed, the thunders roared. I know my Redeemer liveth. And in the last days, you'll stand on the earth. And though these skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. God changed the situation. Oh, after God removed the torment from Job, restored to him double fold. God is so good, friends. We're going to see some situation changes in our lives, are we not? God bless each and every one of you. God bless you. Brother Dick.